Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, here with Diego Plata, mayor of the city of Gunnison, Colorado. Diego, welcome.
Tony, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited for our conversation today.
You've served on the city council for some time now, and also as mayor. Tell us a little bit about that. How long has it been, and what inspired you to dive into city government in the first place?
Yeah, so I originally ran in 2019 and was elected by the town, coming in second behind Mallory Logan. And I've had the privilege and pleasure of serving since then. I have been mayor since December of 2021. So coming up on my sixth year of council now, and four of those as mayor. I moved to the Gunnison Valley in 2014 to do the Master's of Environmental Management, moved here from Denver at that time, and still now was working for a large architecture, engineering, and design firm that does a lot of work around mining and hydro. I was keenly interested in the social impacts of some of the large infrastructure work that we do, and specifically the social impacts that some of the communities feel when those types of projects take place. Didn't have much of a technical background in how to explore or dive deeper into some of those social impacts, so I joined the environmental management program to just learn more about it and get the expertise needed to move in a career in that direction. The company that I work for still, 16 years later, allowed me to move to Gunnison and work remotely before it was cool. And I quickly realized that being home all the time really took a toll on my social ability, and really wanting to do something locally and just become more involved and also just get out and about and meet people led me to applying for and being appointed to the county's planning commission back in 2017, I believe. And I served on that commission for a few years. During that time, now retired community development director Kathy Pagano encouraged me to run for city council. And so I did. And it's really been a phenomenal opportunity to not just be in the know and, of course, stay very close to what's happening in the city, but also to give back to a community that I feel has in many ways welcomed me as one of its own.
Well, if there's any way to get connected to the community and have random people walk up to you and tell you what they think, it's being on the city council, right?
It happens quite often, yes. And, you know, at times I have definitely learned to navigate the conversations in a way that if I am with my family and perhaps just need my time, I won't shy away from saying hello, but I certainly know how to take my space. That said, I'm just a social being, and so I'm always happy to chat. My kids are constantly asking me to please, let's just get in and out of the store because they want to go back home and play, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot going on in Gunnison right now, projects, new regulations, et cetera. So one is the LDC, the Land Development Code. Tell us about that and why that's important.
Absolutely. So the LDC, the Land Development Code, is a very comprehensive document that essentially guides how the city is developed, what can and can't you do on your property, and what can and can't your neighbors do on their properties, which is, I think, equally as important. Over the past year and a half, almost 2 years, our community development team has been working to update the Land Development Code. And the council's direction was really to get the Land Development Code in a comprehensive manner that, in many ways, reduced barriers to development within the city. As you know, and perhaps everybody that's listening knows, the housing crisis is real. And what we continue to hear from our community was that perhaps some of the regulations or the flexibility with which one can work on their own property was limiting the way in which new developments could take place. And so the real goal of the Land Development Code update, which was adopted in late 2025, was to essentially move out of the way as much as we could while also retaining control of a responsible and sustainable approach at development within the city. And so some of the examples that I could quickly point to that help improve or your ability to develop on your own property or that of your neighbors are something like the setbacks. Previously, Gunnison had some really, really far setbacks, meaning how far back from your property line did the envelope of your building have to sit in order to meet the Land Development Code requirements? We've decreased those a little bit so that you could use a little bit more of your lot. Also, how much of your property could you develop? You know, previously there was a percentage that you could actually have buildings on, and now that percentage is just a little bit smaller. and just a number of little tweaks, and in some cases major tweaks, that allow, again, somebody that owns an existing lot or a developer looking to put in place some infrastructure, vertical infrastructure for housing, the aim again was so that the city be out of the way while also again retaining control and responsibility in our developments across the city.
So if someone's interested in adding an accessory dwelling unit to their property, now they have a little more space to work with. They can actually maybe do it where they weren't allowed to before. That's one example, right?
And not just where on their property they do it, but where in the city you are. In the previous land development code, ADUs were very much limited to certain zones within our development plan. And now that is much broader. And so where you live in the city isn't as big of a factor if you want to have an ADU.
Okay. Is there anything addressing short-term rentals?
Short-term rentals has been a part of our conversation for at least since I started on council back in 2019. I moved here from Denver and very much felt the impacts of short-term rentals there. And that's a big city with a lot of houses. When I joined council, we immediately started the discussion, not just based on my impetus, but because it is a very important part. You know, we have seen what Crested Butte has experienced with it and other mountain towns have experienced with it. And so we are very actively keeping an eye on that. In order to really make any kind of policy shift, though, we felt like the LDC update was actually more important in that regard. It is worth noting that while the short-term rental regulations and impacts that it has had on mountain communities, we in the city of Gunnison have actually largely been spared. In a study that was completed by the community development director, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, what we came to find was that actually most of the short-term rentals that are listed within or for Gunnison are actually just outside of the city boundaries. And so they don't actually have much of an impact in our housing stock. During that research, one thing that we looked at was what other regulations or policies were implemented in other mountain towns. And what we found was that largely these have to be very specific to the town based on what percentage of the housing stock is being used for short-term rentals. Our housing stock is largely untouched by short-term rentals. Moreover, we do have a couple of families and individuals who make their living off of short-term rentals that live in the city. And we have to be cognizant that that is a component of our image. And so we're working towards defining a better approach at short-term rentals. And with future developments on the radar, such as Gunnison Rising, it's certainly something that continues to be part of the conversation.
Is Gunnison Rising still going to happen?
Gunnison Rising is in the works. As everyone knows, that unfortunately did go under bankruptcy. And as you drive by, you can see that it's for sale under mm-hmm. bankruptcy terms. We, the city, have very little say, if you will, when it comes to what happens there. We have been in very close contact and conversation with the owners as they went through their bankruptcy and their future expansion and such. The short answer is, when the right developer comes along, yes, Gunnison Rising will happen. Will it be an overnight sensation? I really struggle to think so. One example that I always point to when it comes to a large development like this in the city is the Van Tile neighborhood. That was a development that took close to 20 years to actually fully fill in. Gunnison Rising, I believe, will follow a similar timeline to fully fill in 20 to 30 years.
And maybe modified, et cetera, depending on what the new owner's vision is, right?
Not so much. You know, they're actually very limited by a PUD that the city did adopt. It was either my first or second year on council, actually. And so they are very much bound by this PUD. And the PUD that was put in place very much takes a comprehensive and, I would say, more futuristic approach at development in the way of creating a smarter city, walkable to shops, mixed use when it comes to residential and commercial, right? The typical example of a downtown with an apartment above and the coffee shop below, so that folks have proximity and it can be a more walkable and accessible part of town.
And for the uninitiated, PUD is planned unit development?
That is correct.
Got it.
Yes.
My memory's not so bad after. Let's talk about the economic development plan. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. the Economic Development Plan, and now officially the Economic Development Corporation, is an effort by the city to essentially spur or kickstart a plan to move our economy forward. Since joining council, and one of my big components of running for it was to figure out a way to help diversify our economy. As many people know and many people feel, we have a very seasonal economy. Highs of winter and the lows of fall and spring are really hard to navigate. We have seen over the past number of years continuing declines in our sales tax revenues. And there's certainly been some pretty big factors to this. The COVID pandemic hit everybody. The never-to-be-forgotten bridge that went out, certainly a factor. Nonetheless, we feel like while those were certainly contributors to declining sales tax revenue, we see a bit of a bigger picture and trend in this, to the point where we have been asked numerous times by local businesses, downtown businesses, and just the community at large to do something. What are we going to do? And so one of the key imperatives that the city council adopted involves economic development. The economic development plan is a way to look through a lens of working with community partners to include Western, the hospital, the county, local businesses, the Chamber of Commerce, and try to find ways to enhance the way in which we do business. And whether that means looking for existing grants to support our existing businesses or finding ways to attract new businesses into our downtown. There's also opportunity for having local businesses work with this Economic Development Corporation and figure out some sort of, you know, a lot of people like to point to events, and that's certainly part of the factor, but also just outside of the box thinking when it comes to how they do businesses. Many of the communities near and around us have an Economic Development Corporation or plan in place, and I would be willing to bet that anybody listening that has been to Salida, that has been to Buena Vista, that has been to Montrose or even Delta, they have the local thriving downtown business. And I hear over and over that our downtown Main Street it's kind of quiet. It can be kind of dull. And so the Economic Development Corporation is something that the city led, but it's not something that we're taking ownership of. In fact, we look at it as a vehicle through which the entire community, to include those collaborators and partners that I mentioned earlier, can take a next step in developing our economy in a way that is just more resilient and more sustainable for existing businesses. And how do we attract additional businesses to downtown?
Is the Ice Lab involved in this as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes. They are definitely one of the key partners.
Okay. Yeah. When you do look at downtown Gunnison right now, snapshot, and we all know that there are a variety of reasons why businesses go out in some cases. And in fact, in many of the cases, if you look at downtown Gunnison, you know that a couple of them, they just retired, you know, they just retired. And so those businesses were closed because the folks who ran them for 30 or 40 years wanted to retire. And that was the reason. So it wasn't an economic reason necessarily. It was just I need to take a break in my life reason. But then those businesses sit empty for a long period of time. So we do have quite a few empty spaces down there. A few things have popped up that are new as well. So that's encouraging. Is that what this is designed to address to some extent?
Exactly. Yes. And you're right. We were very fortunate and continue to have some local businesses that have been there for quite some time. But as they start to transition into retirement or other adventures, having a plan on how we use that space efficiently moving forward is a big component of this, right? Everybody points to the Miller Furniture Building that has now sat vacant for a number of years. And tying it back to the Land Development Code update, that was something to be considered. How can that space be used in a way that isn't so tailored to just be another furniture store? And the Economic Development Corporation will hopefully incentivize new businesses to spur or find additional resources that may be needed to perhaps kickstart a new business or help develop a business plan. And again, not a city plan or not a city venture, but rather working with our partners. When you mentioned Ice Lab, how do we get new businesses that are coming to the city to get their business license partnered with the Ice Lab? Because they do a fantastic job when it comes to outfitting a new business with, you know, a business plan or a marketing plan or a communications plan. So just finding ways to work together so that our economy can bounce back a little bit.
If you are just joining us here today on the West Elk Word, I'm Tony Todd, here with Diego Plata, the mayor of Gunnison. All right, let's talk about the biggest project in the works, and that is the new water treatment plant slated for the Vantile Ranch. Why don't you tell us why there and why is it needed?
The new water treatment plant, to the best of my understanding, biggest infrastructure project that the city has ever taken on, and the reasons for it are various. I think a bit of history and context will help the listeners understand why we're moving forward with this project. For those that are not familiar, the current water distribution system for the city of Gunnison relies on various wells that are spread throughout the city. You have probably seen these as you drive around town. It's the little house that sits in the middle of a street somewhere in town. We have about 9 of them. Most are in the middle of the streets, which by nature makes them quite vulnerable. Makes them quite vulnerable to a vehicle running into them. It makes them very vulnerable to contamination from a surface issue, say an oil spill that can then potentially get into those wells. The way that the system works is water is pumped from the aquifer into this little house or our wells and then immediately distributed into our distribution system. The wells act independently of one another, meaning that we in the city don't have redundancy if a issue occurred with a well in the southwest part of town. We don't necessarily have a way to pump water from the northeast part of town to cover for a potential need. In addition, with continuing regulations at CDPHE, and I'll define that one, that's the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment.
And they haven't made a word out of that yet, so you got to just memorize it.
Yeah. CDPHE continues to address water quality issues by building continuous and improved requirements. We are now in a time when there are many, many contaminants that we'd never had to think about previously. Microplastics, what we've heard, or you've probably heard of as PFAS, the forever chemicals that are now sitting in some water sources. And so with our continuing regulations, our existing water system is actually flying just under the radar for what would be allowed under some CDPHE requirements, meaning that if we don't proactively take an action to create a water system that will meet state regulations, we very much could fall into a fall pit of the state coming in and telling us that we need to create a new water treatment system or a new water distribution system that meets the requirements, that is this big, it has to go in place in this part of town, and it must be done by this date, or we will incur some pretty hefty fines. And so with water being obviously a key tenet of life and an absolute responsibility for the city to provide with the community with drinkable, safe, potable water, we began the conversation after completing our water plan. The water plan very quickly pointed to the fact that we needed to diversify our drinking water sources and we needed to create redundancy in our system to address some of these issues. Or the study also pointed at the fact that we're not really meeting regulations to some extent. And CDPHE is aware of this. We've been very much in conversations with them and transparent about our process and where we are. And we immediately started to think, okay, well, what is the next step? Adding a little bit of additional context and history. The Vantile property, the ranch in its entirety, was donated to the city. The city took ownership of that specifically for its water resources. The rancher, Mr. Vantile, saw the opportunity to both retain the beauty of the area and create a community space, but also protect some of the incredibly, incredibly strong water rights that we have right there on that property. In fact, some of our water rights in the city of Gunnison predate the compact, meaning that regardless of what happens downstream from us at Lake Powell and so on and so forth, we're protected. However, in order to be able to tap into those water rates, we have to have a means and a mechanism through which we pump that water out. So why that location? Because in large, since that piece of property became a part of the city, that was the intent. The initial documents and plan for that property very much spoke to using that as a way for the city to retain and use water. And then the reasons for it when it comes to the infrastructure side of it, I just explained. Now, we have gotten a lot of questions and a lot of concerns, rightfully so, as to why there and why would we take such a beautiful property and propose such a monstrosity of a project. So I hope that my next comments here will ease some of those concerns. Our intent is to create a visibly and aesthetically pleasing building that will house the water treatment plant. It'll be very close to a barn-looking building that, if you saw it on the surface, you may not necessarily know that it's a water treatment plant. More importantly, perhaps, when it comes to environmental impacts that will occur on that property, one of the key tenets as we drive this thing forward has very much been to maintain and retain the environmental integrity of the property. And not just for the birds and the bees and the wildlife and the ecology and the ecosystems that exist there, but absolutely because personally, I find that to be in many ways kind of the heart of our town. It's a beautiful walking path with access to the river, with access to a peaceful and calm, serene place for so many. It's incredibly accessible when it comes to ADA compliance, when it comes to the school kids that are right there. And for us to move forward with something that would degrade that, I believe would be just an assault to the city of Gunnison. Now, we certainly hear concerns and heard many, many concerns during public input for the water treatment plant when it came to why did we create a PUD, and as you earlier defined, a planned urban development around the Van Tuyl property for this water treatment plant. And the short kind of reasoning for that is, in fact, while the way in which the Van Tuyl property was zoned very much protected the integrity of the land, this PUD further enhances those protections for that piece of property to retain what it is today and well into the future.
It kind of makes it official, those protections, right?
Well, it's always been official, but this very much fortifies that officialness.
Fortified officialness. I like that.
New terms.
Are there some plans in the works or at least discussions with regard to the ditches this year, and will they turn on early? Are there some conservation efforts in the works?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you bring those up. The ditches definitely tie into our entire water system and distribution component of the city. A bit more context and history on the ditches. The ditches are a essential part of our community. I think many people enjoy them, not just because of how unique they are to see such a thing in a city. I don't believe there are many cities across the nation that have such a system. And we hear a lot from folks that use them to irrigate their home gardens, irrigate their yards. A lot of people pump out of the ditches to use as potable water after they've filtrated this water. And so absolutely, we are considering the ditches. The ditches are actually undergoing a master plan, because the ditches were put in place, and as unfortunately many know, it's not the most equitable system when it comes to whether or not you are served by a ditch. I personally don't live in a part of town that is served by the ditch, but coincidentally, my neighbor just across the street is, right? So there is that component. The ditches are also a system that is largely underfunded. While we as the city maintain these and protect them, and answer the call when there's an issue with any of the ditches, we don't have a dedicated sourcing fund. And the ditch plan that we're going through right now is going to help us better understand what is the status of the ditch system as a whole, what would it take to improve the ditch system as a whole, and look into potential ideas around how do we fund this thing. By and large, the ditch system is, I'll say, underwritten by our water enterprise fund, which is by statute only supposed to fund water, both water distribution and water treatment. And it's going okay in that sense, but it's just not a sustainable approach to maintain such an incredibly important part of the system. Once we have the findings of this plan, I think we'll have a much better idea of how we're going to manage this important asset of the community. And to answer your question to this spring specifically, I couldn't really say whether or not they'll open early. That tends to really be reliant on water flows and upstream clogging or not. It's a very fluid, no pun intended, system as far as when it opens and when it closes. But I will give our public works staff just a tremendous amount of kudos on all the work that they do to maintain this incredibly important system.
What are some top priorities that you're hearing from Gunnison residents?
One of the more recent ones that I hear a lot about is parking. And we, the city, have taken a bit of a comprehensive look when it comes to our parking situation. The city can be divided into two buckets when it comes to parking by way of having a downtown parking component and then a rest of the city parking component. Within that rest of the city parking component, we also have an industrial part of town. We have very residential parts of town. And what we hear from the community at large is that there are issues when it comes to what I would say is public storage of things like trailers or heavy equipment. And so as a result of continuous public input and feedback, we did take a look and tweaked some of our parking regulations to make it more, I would say, delineated when it comes to what you can and cannot park within the public right of way, and also how long you can park, because having a big tractor out front of your house because the contractor just doesn't have a place to put it isn't necessarily creating the most safe and aesthetically pleasing neighborhood for you to live in.
Especially in a town where the sidewalks kind of come and go.
Absolutely.
So you have to walk around.
You got
to
walk around.
Tell us about the new communications framework. Sounds boring, but it sounds interesting too. Tell me about that.
I always invite everyone and anyone to come to our city council meetings, but also completely understand why people don't necessarily come. And I often say that maybe I don't necessarily want to be there because some of these topics can be a little bit dry and boring. Nonetheless, they are incredibly important topics and incredibly important conversations. The communications plan is something that we just adopted. Our current city clerk, Erica Boucher, has done a fantastic job in creating a system and a process that never really existed. And so this new communications plan gives us a really detailed and mapped out approach of how we communicate, what it is that we communicate, and what level of detail do we need to share out with the community. Because at times, kind of like your comment to the water treatment plant or what the parking regulations are, et cetera, there's a lot of assumed realities out there when it comes to why the city is doing this or that or why they're not. And our hope is that this communications framework will give us just a better approach at letting it be known why we're doing the things that we're doing and give the level of detail that really creates and builds trust from the community with what we, the city as an organization, are doing on their behalf.
All right. Diego Plata, mayor of the city of Gunnison, thank you for joining me today on the West Elk Word.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. It's truly been a privilege.
That's it for this edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this or any edition of the program anytime. Go to kbut.org, click Programs, then West Elk Word. Thanks for listening today. See you next time.